Thank you, Joe, team, and good morning, everyone. We're going to continue our study this morning on the vertical church, and this week it's going to be a common access, the church itself, the way we can go vertical together. And I was telling a young lady this just recently that the key to understanding something is to repeat it. So I said to her, repetition is the key to retention. That's right. Repetition is the key to retention. So we're going to repeat a few things from our first two lessons. And the first lesson had to deal with the subject of transcendence. It's a big word, and it simply means that we are looking up to God because God has placed a longing in our hearts to be with Him and to know Him and to enjoy Him and to glorify Him. I remember there was a song a few years ago that life without Jesus is like a donut. There's a hole in the middle of your heart. And that's what God has put within us. He's put within us a longing for eternity. He didn't just give us life for a few years on this little blue marble in space, but rather He gave us the capacity to be able to enjoy Him forever. And that's what transcendence means. It means to reach out, go vertical, and to develop in your heart and mind an understanding and a longing for a right relationship with God, to appreciate His greatness, His power, and His goodness. And that is a reminder from our first lesson. This is a recent picture from the news, and it's right beside that little lunar thing that bobs around the earth once every day. And they looked with the Hubble telescope at a little piece of space beside the moon. And that is what we see beside the moon. That little black spot, that little red square, is full of galaxies. And it seems that we are insignificant in relation to the size of the universe. Can you see yourself? And what I was thinking about was that every one of these galaxies is blocking the view of more galaxies. And the further you focus that camera into space, the more you see. And the more you see, the realize the less you see. God's grandeur in creation. And so the Lord Jesus wants to help us to understand that. And so last week we looked at God's manifest presence, that the Lord Jesus came to be with us, Emmanuel. And He wants us to see His glory beyond ourselves. It's hard to get a reference point. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus came to do. He came to give us a reference point. So He came down so we could understand who we are and who God is. Our job, according to James MacDonald in the Vertical Church, is to be a disciple and to unveil our great God and trust Him to shine and show who He is in the hearts He is drawing to Himself. That is, I hope, what we're trying to do in our small groups and here each Sunday as we're understanding a little bit more about the Vertical Church. So we're going to look at the essence of the church today. Transcendence, God's presence, and today the essence of the church. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 3. A few weeks ago, we actually looked at this passage, but I think it's really a good starting point in our discussion. And Paul is in prison, and he's writing to the church in a little town called Ephesus. And he now prays for them. And he says, for this reason, because of God revealing wonderful truth to him, the mystery that was hidden, that we as Gentiles, we as non-Jews, could be part of God's family, part of God's program. And God revealed that to Paul. And he said, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom, he says, the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now, that doesn't mean everyone on planet Earth is part of God's family. But here he's specific. He said, the whole family in heaven and earth. And he's referring to the church. And he says that God would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I think that's a simple definition of a Christian. Christ lives in my heart by faith. And being rooted and grounded in love, we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, the dimensions of God's love and the capacities that we have to appreciate the greatness of God and our relationship with Christ. to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. And so as we look at the church, it's really described to us in different ways in the scripture. And I want to look, first of all, at who is the foundation of the church. And it's a person. This morning we're in a building. It's a church building. The foundation is underneath what we're standing or sitting upon. And without that solid foundation, we wouldn't be so sure that we're going to end up staying where we are this morning. The church has a foundation. Jesus Christ is the foundation of the church. He is the scripture talks about him being the head of the body. And we see in Ephesians, both in chapter 1 and chapter 2, word pictures. You know, God likes to make things simple. He gives us a coloring book in the Bible. He gives us a picture book. And so in Ephesians chapter 1, he describes the church as a body, and Christ is the head of that body. And so when we think about the functions of the body, hands moving and feet moving and eyes seeing and ears hearing, every part has an important responsibility in making that body work as it's supposed to. But without the head of the body, it's dysfunctional. It's the chicken with its head cut off running around. And I think that there are some churches in the world that look like that. I hope our church isn't one of those, but sometimes, like yesterday, you felt like it, where everybody was running around everybody. It was organized LPS, not confusion. And we're running to and fro, and we're serving and doing things. And the head without the body is wrong. But a body with a head that functions and that obeys the direction of the head is right. So we have these word pictures. The church, through God's redeemed people, again, not the building, so important to say that, you know, we're coming to meet with the church in a building called Bethel Bible Chapel. This is God's designated place, not the building, but the people, to unveil God's glory. The church has two aspects. There's the worldwide church that is here on earth. There's the church that is universal from the beginning of the church, and the birthday of the church was on the day of Pentecost. And the consummation of the church will be when the Lord takes the church away from this world, which we believe will happen at the second coming of Christ. And he will take the church to heaven. And the church will be no more on earth, but will be with him in heaven. And then we have the local aspect of the church in Sault Ste. Marie, of which Bethel Bible Chapel is one of the local churches in Sault Ste. Marie, that follow the commands that the Lord has given us in Scripture as to how a church should function. So we have two aspects of the church. An entrance to the church is not through that door. It's through Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can get to heaven. No one can become part of the church except through Christ. Now, I put here a little definition for us to think about this morning of how you become a member of the body of Christ or you become a member of the church. Anyone who has repented of their sin. So if you're here this morning and you can say, okay, that's true of me. I have repented of my sin. That means you have told God, number one, I am sorry that I am a sinner. Number two, you're acknowledging that in yourself you have no way to correct that problem. And so it's repenting of your sin and then trusting what Christ's sacrifice alone, apart from your works for personal salvation, has done. The result is that at that point, you have automatically passed from being dead spiritually and eternally to being alive spiritually and eternally. You've perhaps heard people say you only die once. That's a lie. Your body may die, but you go on past the point of death into eternity. God has put eternity in our hearts. The question is, where will you be in eternity? Spiritually alive or dead? Will you experience eternal life or the second death or eternal death? The only way to escape is to trust the Lord Jesus. He's the only way to eternal life. Saved is a word that you sometimes hear from Christians, sometimes you don't. And I was having a conversation with a gentleman, had never met him before, and in talking to him, found out he was a Christian, and he said, 1974, I got saved. And what he meant by that was the day he passed from being spiritually dead to spiritual life. Saved from what? From the penalty of sin. And he became a member of the body of Christ, of the church universal. He then, in Sault Ste. Marie, joined himself to a local church fellowship. And so we see the differences between the universal and the local church. The church is not about me. And it's not about you. It's about God. And that's why we're looking at this aspect of the vertical church. And it's about His glory. His glory. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. He is the brightness of His image and the express image of His glory. Jesus said, "Who has seen me has seen my Father." At our small group this week, I suggested that one definition of the glory of God is this. You may not want to write this down, but you may want to just listen to it twice. The glory of God is His intrinsic, eternal perfections. Intrinsic. The very nature of God, just as gold has intrinsic value, God is glorious. And it's eternal. And it's because He's perfect. And there's no one else that can say that. He is the fullness of God bodily. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, "We have beheld His glory." John was an eyewitness of the Lord Jesus. He saw Him on Transfiguration Mountain. He was an eyewitness of His majesty. And he could say, "We beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." We got to see a glimpse. The pages were opened. The covers were taken off. And we got to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The church has access to that. Experiencing glory. We are conduits. Someone has described us as nothing but little straws that can get filled from whatever the straw draws from. We are conduits of God's glory, the glory of Jesus. And the Lord Jesus in John 17, and I'm going to read those verses because I think they're important when we think about what the Lord wanted from the church. John chapter 17 and verse 20. "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word." You're sitting here today. The testimony of God's witnesses with the power of the Holy Spirit. "That they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me." That's why He wants us to be one. To glorify Him. That the world may believe that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. "And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. That they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father," this is a good prayer, "I desire they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am." The Lord Jesus wants us to be with Him. Now that happens two ways. We sang about that the Lord is in our midst. He wants to be with us. In fact, God's desire, I mentioned this at small group too, was that, you know, God's people wanted to go camping one day. So they got into the wilderness and the tabernacle was carried along with them. And wherever they went, they built the tabernacle and God came down and dwelt with them. God wanted to go camping with His people. God wants to be with us today. He wants to be in our midst in all that we do, both individually and collectively as a church. "That they may be with me where I am, and that they may behold my glory." Have you seen the glory of the Lord Jesus today? "That they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world." I had the opportunity to travel to Cuba. Our speaker for LPS this weekend is with us this morning, and he spent a lot of his youth in Cuba. And I went to Cuba with not only him, but with his father. And I remember a message that he gave in Spanish. I'm not going to try to say it in Spanish. But he spoke so simply and clearly. His name is David Adams, and he's gone to be with the Lord. And he said this in Spanish to a group of little people in a little town that was in the middle of nowhere, in a country that nobody really understands very well. And he said, "Eternal life is a gift. Eternal life is a person. And eternal life is a promise." That's pretty simple. Eternal life is a gift. Have you received that gift? It's a wonderful gift. It's a person. That they may know Jesus Christ. They may know God. And eternal life is through Him. And God promised us eternal life. It's a wonderful thing to have eternal life. It's a wonderful thing to be able to access that wonderful place where we can be near to the heart of God. You know, when we were singing the song that they sang on the Titanic, except I don't think they were singing. They were playing. They were running. They were fleeing. They were trying to escape from what was going to happen. The dance band was playing, "Nearer, My God, to Thee." And in a few short hours, they were. They stepped off that ship and into the sea and into eternity. And where were they then? Those that were with Christ there were with Christ in eternity, and those that were not were lost forever. Romans chapter 15 is another lovely passage to look at about the glory of God. And if you have a Bible, turn to Romans 15. And I'll mention his name again because his son is sitting here. But I asked Mr. Adams while I was in Cuba on that trip, I said, could you tell me how a person gets joined to a local church? Like, how does that actually happen? And without hesitation, he said, turn to Romans chapter 15 and verse 7. I said, this ought to be complicated. He's a great Bible teacher, and I'm going to find out how to biblically get people in the church. And this is what he said. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. When we receive each other, as Christ has received us, we glorify God. What does it mean to receive one another? How do we do that? Well, we can put our arms around each other, both literally and with our hearts. Because as the body of Christ, our parts are interconnected. As individuals, we are members of the body. And as we receive one another, we glorify God. And if we do not do that, we do not glorify God. Therefore, your joys ought to be mine. Last night we rejoiced with newlyweds-to-be. That's wonderful. We sorrow with those who have lost loved ones in these last few years. That's what the body does. It hurts when other people hurt in the body, and it rejoices. And we receive one another. Your cares become mine. We pray for each other. We put a list up of concerns and prayer requests. That's what a body does. We're concerned about people. And that is the access that we have together as the church. My burdens are now being shared by you, and your burdens by me. It helps us to do this, too. I'll show you. It helps us to open our mouths before God, and it helps us to close our mouths before other people. It keeps things where they're supposed to be, in the right order. And so that is his glory being seen in the church. The Lord Jesus revealed his glory, and one of my favorite verses is in the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verse 11. And it says this, "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee when he manifested forth his glory." He said, I'm going to a wedding, and there have been some weddings recently here at the chapel. And what's really great about going to weddings is that the bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face, right? And you see that love between a man and a woman as they make their vows to each other, as they commit themselves to one another in the presence of witnesses and before God. And you see that intent, and you see that the purpose of the wedding was to rejoice together with that young couple. The Lord Jesus went to that wedding, and it says he went there, and this was a revelation of his glory. And what did he do? He performed a miracle. In John's gospel, we have eight signs, eight significant signs, and this was one of them. And we see that the Lord Jesus did things that showed he was omnipotent over his creation. He had power over the substances of juice and turned it into wine. And he was able to reverse disease and heal people. In John chapter 11, we see another aspect of God's glory. And he said, this sickness, Lazarus was sick, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. That's a tough one. That's a really tough one. My grandmother, 1978, was diagnosed with cancer. And at that time, it was beyond any form of therapy but surgery. And my grandmother said something that I have never forgotten. And she said, the surgeon has the knife in his hand, but the Lord is holding the surgeon's hand. And what she was saying was, whether I live or die, it's for the glory of God. I leave it in his hands. And a week later, she went to heaven. And that happens sometimes. That sickness is unto death, but the ultimate purpose is for the glory of God. Mary and Martha were taught that lesson. And they were taught this verse, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And then he said, do you believe that? And then he proved that he could do it, and he raised Lazarus from the dead. And it brought him to tears to think of what it had done to the creation that God had planted on earth, the perfect place for people to live, and how sin had messed everything up. A vertical church teaches its people to judge every circumstance and opportunity in terms of its potential to reveal the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's from our textbook for our Bible study. Look at every opportunity that you face. You may think it's the worst thing that's happened to you. Ask yourself, how is God going to use this for his glory? You may not see the way. It may take longer than you want it to take. But bring God into the midst of your sorrows and your troubles and your problems and your joys and your rejoicing, and ask him to be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today. So the church is all about him. Our mission is to glorify him. It's interesting. The Bible gives us a couple of glimpses as to what God wants. Now we should say, well, I want what God wants. Well, this is what God wants. The Holy Spirit is looking for sinners for repentance. That's the Holy Spirit is seeking sinners. Our Father is seeking worshipers. And the Lord Jesus is seeking servants. It's three things to remember. It's an easy one to remember. The Holy Spirit glorifies our Lord Jesus, and our Lord Jesus glorifies his Father, and our Father wants Christ to be exalted and glorified. They get along so well. They're the perfect family. We ought to emulate the way they get along. It's mutual submission and equality in the relationship for the purpose of glorifying specifically, I believe, the Lord Jesus Christ because of what he has done. So giving Christ the glory, that's our mandate, our mission. Everything should flow from that. Colossians chapter 1 says that in all things, he should have the preeminence. So it's all about this, okay? When you come to Bethel Bible Chapel, I hope this is what you see. When you see Peter Ricchetti, this is a tough one, folks. I want you to see Jesus. When I see you, that's what I want to see. So anything that gets in the way of that view has to be corrected. More of him and less of me. That's what the church is about. That's how we glorify him. We get out of the way. Okay? And that's what you see, isn't it? That's what you should see when we get out of the way. You should see him. And because he is the radiance of his glory and we experience that glory as we're conduits of his love, the next question that comes up in our study, and it'll be in your small group this week on day 3, is why was the veil torn? It was mentioned already this morning. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 9. We have to get out of the way and let him be glorified. Hebrews chapter 9. And verse 11. But Christ came as a high priest of good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He had to go into the holy place. The Lord Jesus had business to take care of when he was on earth, and he had important matters to take care of when he was on the cross. You turn to chapter 10, and we see these lovely words in chapter 10 and verse 10, that we've been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We remember him. We don't reenact it. We remember what he's done for us. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. The Lord Jesus Christ did it all, and he did it once. And he did it right, and he did it perfectly. And because of that, we read in chapter 10, verse 19, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You see, you couldn't get into the holy place if you were going into the temple. You had to be a designated person with an appropriate sacrifice in the right condition, and if not, it wasn't going to happen. And it had to be with blood. Because the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness, no remission for sins. And the Lord Jesus did that. So we have a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil. That is his flesh. And we have a high priest over the house of God. And this is what he says. Now go run away and don't come back and bother me. He says, no, but let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. That's what he wants us to do. When the body comes together, it's to function. And when it functions, it glorifies the head of the body. And when it glorifies the head of the body, it has access into the very heavens because the head of our church is in heaven. That's where our headquarters is. It's not in Brooklyn. It's not in Clearwater. It's not in Rome. It's in heaven. That's where the King of Kings is. And he's waiting to come and establish his kingdom here on earth. First, he established it in my heart and yours. But he's going to do that one day. The veil was torn so we could have access to God and his glory. Why are we here? Back to Ephesians chapter 3. He says in verse 19, knowing the love of Christ passes knowledge. And then he closes with a doxology. And a doxology is a praising God thing. All right? And he says this, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power, that's the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside every believer, and it works in us, to him be glory in the church. To him be glory in the church. We're here to glorify God. That's our mission from the moment we become a Christian. That's our mission, our mandate as a church, is to glorify him. And the way we do that is by exalting the Lord Jesus. He's the only Savior. The Bible says, neither is there salvation found in any other name, for there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. He's the only Savior. And so that is the mandate of the church. Some people wonder, you know, churches are closing. Well, that's not true. Church isn't closing. Buildings may be closing. Perhaps there are places that people are meeting that aren't being used anymore. But the church, according to what the Lord Jesus said to Peter, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The church is invisible and it is indivisible. And it will never be destroyed because it's built on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the rock. Not Peter, but I am the rock. So the foundation, the purpose, and the relevance of the church are based upon the person of the Lord Jesus. It's universal. Absolutely. I'd like us to close with a thought, and I'd like Christine to come up and sing a song for us. And the church meets in so many different countries. There's countries where we need to have, of course, more gospel work being done so that people can hear the good news, and there's good news being shared in so many different countries. And I'd like us to close with a song that's going to be in Spanish this morning. And the song is in Spanish called Con Que Pagaremos. And that means what?
How can we repay him?
How can we repay him? We are a church, the body of Christ. We have access to him. I'm going to ask Christine to close with that song after I pray. I'll put the English translation of it on the board, on the screen, and ask you to consider those words. And the important thing is this, and I want you to remember this when you leave today. You can repay him by giving him your heart, because that's where it all starts. And that's where it all ends. Father, we're thankful for the access that we have together through the Lord Jesus to glorify you. We pray that we might exalt him in our local church here. We thank you for each one that's here today that has trusted Christ. And as we serve you together, we worship you together, we're rejoicing in what you are doing in our midst. We pray for any that are here this morning that need to give the Lord Jesus their heart by repenting and by trusting him. And by seeking to have forgiveness of sins. We thank you for the access that we have. We thank you that we are part of the body of Christ in this world. That our brothers and sisters speak different languages than we do. They meet in different places than we do. They have different struggles. Some are persecuted for their faith. Lord, we pray for those that are being persecuted for their faith in Christ. They are our family. And they meet in other places. So we pray your blessing as we part, as we consider these words. And we ask it to your blessing and glory in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.
say.